97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Annie Fry Show.
On Sunday, June 20th, Joe Biden will have been president for exactly 5 months. And in these 5 months, we've seen crisis after crisis after crisis.
That's exactly right. I was just talking about that earlier. And now that the real crisis of COVID is in our rearview mirror, they're going to want to manufacture another crisis that they can come in and save everybody on. And it's going to be climate. It's going to be another manufactured crisis. Look, I have never been someone who has said climate change doesn't exist. I don't know if you all knew this. Oh, by the way, welcome back to the Annie Fry Show.
Thanks.
It's Thursday, otherwise known as Friday Eve.
Yes.
Yeah. June 17th, 2021.
To Katie, it's just Friday.
It's another day ending in Y. Yeah. It's 1:08, nearly 1:09 p.m. here in the Heartland, Central Daylight Time. Little known fact about Tim Jones. I'm talking to the third person like Dr. Fauci.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I just did too. It's
if you question Tim Jones, you don't believe the science and data of Tim Jones.
Tim Jones,
I am important.
So when Tim Jones was a little Tim Jones, okay, no short cracks, anybody. All right. You ever seen a pit bull get angry?
Okay.
I wanted to be a paleontologist.
Nice.
I did know this.
Did you know this? Did I discuss this before?
I think
my love
we've
of dinosaurs?
About, yes.
When I was a little youngster running around St. Louis County, grew up in, I didn't really grow up. I lived to the age of, my wife would just say, put a period right there. You never grew up. See, I could be self-deprecating.
Tim Jones could be self-deprecating.
That's right.
Tim Jones.
So I used to run around all the little libraries. So I spent the first few years of my life in Manchester, Missouri, till my folks moved us out to the hinterlands of beautiful Eureka, Missouri, God's country. I love it out there. Went away to school for 10 years up in New York City. Survived the left-wing lunacy. Actually, when I was there, it was the good times. When I was in New York, it was the golden years of New York. It was the end of the horrid reign of David Dinkins. Nice guy, but just a disaster. And in comes America's mayor, baby, Rudy Giuliani. And I saw the seismic shift and change in New York City right before my very eyes. I mean, I got there. Folks dropped me off at Fordham University. And I think my mom cried all the way home. My dad said, number one, I was the firstborn. But also, I think they were like, oh, God, should we have left him in New York City? You know, so it's a kid from Eureka, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I got there, the front cover of Time magazine, when people used to read it, I remember this vividly. I think I may still have it somewhere. 1989, fall of 1989, the front cover of Time magazine, when Time magazine used to do actual objective reporting, had a comic like strip vision of New York City. It was a big apple, like the Big Apple, right?
Cool.
Except it was a rotten apple with worms, and it was like, and it was, the title was The Rotten Apple. So even Time magazine back then was objective in its reporting enough to understand the problems New York was going through. High crime rate, poor education system, squalor everywhere. People were fleeing the city.
And you were just coming in. I'm like, come on in.
Let's come on
Bring
in.
It.
So,
hey, New York City.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. It's like Green Acres. Rudy Giuliani gets elected and proceeds to clean the whole mess up. And he did. And by the time I left, Times Square was like Disney World North. Okay. And you could take your family members and your friends down there in broad daylight or in the middle of the night, and it was safe, and it was convenient, and things were operating, and they didn't have any debt, and everything was going swimmingly. And Bloomberg, who I need to have one of my friends from New York on to explain. I didn't even know the whole story with Bloomberg. Bloomberg's never been a Republican, but he ran as a Republican because Republicans were popular at that time because Giuliani was mayor and done such a great job. Giuliani... See, everybody always, this is what leftists love about the present. They can always just say the present, just make it whatever it wants. Giuliani was an awesome mayor, and he was well-respected by the right and the left when he was mayor. Did a great job with that. But he's always been a controversial figure. He was controversial when he was attorney general of New York, of the district up there, Southern District, U.S. attorney for the Southern District. He was a mob buster.
Oh,
he's an Italian mob. He is Italian, and he was a mob buster.
That's crazy.
That's how he became famous. He was the guy that prosecuted, quote, The Sopranos before they existed as a TV show.
Crazy.
You know?
And that was based on a true story?
Well, you know.
Sort of, loosely.
You know, I could tell you some of the felony arraignments I used to do in Nassau County under the DA's office, where I would arraign gambling rings and stuff on Saturday and Sunday mornings.
Really?
Oh, I saw The Sopranos before there was a TV show.
Wow.
They all kind of looked like the TV show. Yeah. It was based on reality. Racketeering, card rings, numbers running. That's all real. That stuff happens.
See, I knew about
social
the crime,
clubs. Yeah.
The crime stuff I've heard a lot about with Giuliani. but the debt thing I've never heard that they were out of debt under him.
He was moving it that way because everybody was coming back in the city and it was a clean, nice, productive place to be. Bloomberg, never a Republican, ran as one to get elected after Giuliani and then served. He changed the law, remember, so he could stay an extra term. And Bloomberg was a Republican, ran as a Republican, served as a Republican for 4 years. So in my lifetime, Ryan's lifetime, maybe not Katie's, New York City had a Republican mayor for 12 years. Do you believe that?
That's crazy.
And then Bloomberg turned into an independent, and now he's back to being a Democrat. Mm. Whatever. I can't
hear the name Dinkins without thinking of Saturday Night Live. Do you remember when Chris Farley was Dinkins' son on Saturday Night Live?
No, I don't. I don't remember that.
And he would always be at the ball games, and Mayor Dinkins was just like Kevin Nealon. And he would walk up the stairs and just go get him. He basically just kept getting his son things to eat.
Oh, that's funny.
And Chris Farley's line, and it was, oh, yeah.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah!
Yes, I do remember that. Yes.
that's Mayor Dinkins to me. Just that sketch. That's all I knew.
How did I get on my New York story?
Paleontology.
Yes.
Let's bring it all back around.
So I was going to be a paleontologist. And so as a kid, I read everything in the library I could get my hands on about evolution and the dinosaurs and all those old, you know, Mesozoic, Jurassic was the middle. So it was, let me see if I get this right. It was Cretaceous was the back end and the Jurassic was the middle. What was the first one? There was three eras that spanned millions of years.
Mesozoic?
I think that was the era.
Oh.
And these were the...
Anyway,
climate. I was talking about climate change.
Yes.
Climate has been changing. Climate change to David Dinkins. This is how we get there.
This is what's happening.
Oh, yeah. To Chris Farley. Climate's been changing on this planet for billions of years. But back in the dinosaur era, when climate was changing, nobody said you need to stop driving SUVs because they didn't exist. But the climate changed. It got hot. It got cold. It got hot again. It got cold again. The oceans rose. The oceans fell. It was night. It was day. It was night. It was dark. You know, I mean, it happens. The error that is made and the way people have made gazillions of dollars, like fake phony Al Gore, is that they decided to try to convince people that humankind has such an effect on the climate that we can change it overnight like this in a couple hundred years or less or a couple decades. When climate changes over the period of tens of thousands, if not millions of years. Now, are we adding something or taking something away? I think yes, but if you study the true science on this and actually read it, it is microscopic nanoparticles, okay? And we cannot be so arrogant to think that we can play God with the planet one way or the other. Should we be good stewards of the planet? Yes, and some of the most famous conservation groups in the world, like Ducks Unlimited, are basically run and funded by conservatives, okay? Conservation and conservative are part of the same etymology. And I believe very strongly in taking care of the environment, right? We recycle everything we possibly can. We're big outdoors people. Always leave the campsite better than you found it. You know, I've done so many trash pickup days and planting days. Back when I was an alderman in Eureka, I tried to redo, and I did. I helped redo all the parks, and we planted rose bushes and all kinds. You know, I love the environment. I love this world. I think it's a gift from God. I don't believe in the fake phony science of the climate change crazies. Al Gore, there was a meme the other day. He predicted like 20, 30 years ago but that by the year 2013 that all of the polar ice caps would be melted and the oceans would be 90 feet higher.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Nobody goes back and holds him to account. The left is never held to account on anything.
Yeah, an inconvenient truth is going to be a very inconvenient truth.
Watch that now and listen to all the lies that were in that. Al Gore invented that so he could retire a millionaire.
Well, he also invented the internets, right?
Right.
So he's just...
He's making money on what we're looking at on our computers right now. Unbelievable. This
Mike's been patiently hanging on.
Oh, Mike's still here.
Mike's still here. I'm sorry. Russell, I'm sorry, Russell. If you want to call, I have time in the next segment. If Russell, if you'd like to call back, or anybody would, 314-241-9797. I'm going to take Mike's phone call now, go to a break. When we come back, Russell or anybody else wants to call back. Russell's point was, no worky, no welfare. That was my words. He basically said, no work, no Social Security. You know, and yeah, I'm more for a meritocracy. I wish we had more of a meritocracy. Let's get to Mike here. Mike, good afternoon. You're on the Annie Fry Show. Go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing? It's always good to talk to you guys.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Mike.
So I just wanted to give some pushback, you know, and listening to the discussion and everything. And, you know, right now you're talking about, you know, global warming and things of that nature. So let's just start from that. You know, during the time where Democrats were talking about global warming and all that situation, Republicans were talking about the rights of the company and how global warming was a myth and how companies have the right and how it affect jobs, right? So let's fast forward to now, and these same companies, you know, now that they have the right to have a voice and they have make an opinion about things that's going on in the culture, like in Atlanta, now you're saying that they shouldn't, and those companies should be quiet. So when you talk about the hypocrisy, like the way that the Republicans remain silent, you know, and how you just, you know, conveniently be blind to the fact. You talk about Rudy Giuliani from 20 years ago, but Rudy Giuliani right now is on a criminal investigation, and you're not saying anything about it.
So is Hunter Biden. Hey, Mike, I let you have your monologue. Can I ask you a question now, since, like, it's the Annie Fry Show and I'm hosting today, so it's Tim Jones hosting Annie Fry?
Sure.
Mike, what do the people of Atlanta, what is the majority community, the black community of Atlanta, gain by Major League Baseball pulling the All-Star game out of Atlanta just because you left-wing lunatics are now woke? What does that gain the people of Atlanta?
It gains the same thing that the same black people did in Alabama when they protested the bus riders, where they wasn't allowed for this to be treated equally.
But they lost,
so Mike. You call these people lunatics.
Yeah, because you lost.
You call them lunatics, right?
Yeah, Mike, you lost. So these rich white guys who run Coca-Cola and Delta have punished the black community of Atlanta by forcing the Major League Baseball to pull the All-Star game to Colorado, where there aren't any black people. So the black community, Mike, has lost because of you woke supremacists.
It's called a sacrifice. And let me ask you this.
What exactly
do you want? You want people to be asleep on race? You don't want people to wake up about race? Do you want racism to stay in America?
Hey, Mike, let me ask you another question. What do you think about the black conservatives who agree with me and disagree with you? Do you want to call them Uncle Tim or Uncle Tom?
What do you say to black people? Majority of black people were Republicans during the Civil Rights. Yes, they were.
Until the Democrats convinced them that they could buy your votes over the last 50 years and give you nothing in return.
Here's the answer from a black guy. The reason why black people aren't Republicans is because Republicans embrace racism. Would you stand next to a Jewish person? Stand next to a Nazi? I can't stand next to someone who's waving a Confederate flag and was proud, knowing that my ancestry were slaves under that.
My black conservative friends don't think I'm a racist, Mike. Thanks for calling me a racist, because my black conservative friends don't think I'm a racist. And actually, Mike, some of my black liberal friends don't think I'm a racist either. So, you know,
Tim, if you wave a Confederate flag and you don't think you're racist, you're wrong. And if you wave a Confederate flag.
So now I wave Confederate flags.
People,
so, Mike, now I wave Confederate flags.
No, I don't.
No, so that's a straw man. Move on. What's your next point? Hey, let me ask you this. Tell me what the Democrats have done for black America in the last 60 years of taking your votes for granted, putting you all on, convincing you that welfare was better than work, and destroying inner-urban America. Kim Gardner and Tashara Jones are destroying the city of St. Louis. There's not a Republican left in the city of St. Louis, Mike, and it's one of the most horrible places to live in the country.
Tashara Jones just started destroying the city of St. Louis, and she just got elected.
Okay, what about Kim Gardner?
Now defend Kim Gardner,
who hates the police and won't prosecute crime. How's that helping the city of St. Louis?
Wait. So if Kim Gardner calls out police officers who are on Facebook said racist things. That means she hates the police now?
All right, Mike. Now tell me, Mike. Democrats have run the city of St. Louis for 50 years. It has one of the worst homicide rates in the country. It used to have 800,000 people in it in 1950. It now has barely 300,000. Mm-hmm. Mike, Democrats have destroyed the city of St. Louis. If you can't admit that, I really have nothing else to argue with you about because you won't accept reality or facts.
Here's the thing about crime, right? And I will commit because I'm not going to be faced to lie about facts. Let's keep facts facts. Democrats aren't perfect. Republicans aren't perfect. My issue is, if you remember about the Tea Party, the reason why a lot of people were with the Tea Party because we were fed up with the inaction between the Democrats and the Republicans not getting anything done.
Hey, Mike, if you're a Tea Party guy, then you and I could actually get along. Because I don't like big government either. Maybe just as much as you. Hey, Mike, I'm sorry. Great conversation. I love your passion, and I really appreciate you listening to the show. I got to run, Mike. Thanks so much. Woo. There we go. That's what
Mike,
it's all about.
Mike likes to call.
Yeah,
he and listens all the time.
I'm glad Mike listens. I'm sorry, Mike. He's good. Really have to run. I was not trying to cut you off. I'm way past a break. Hey, we welcome other callers. 314-241-9797. It's the Annie Fry Show all week this week. Tim Jones in the big chair. 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, I guess the overall is we didn't get anything. We gave a very big stage to Russia, and we got nothing. We gave up something that was unbelievably valuable. I stopped the pipeline, Nord Stream, and that pipeline was stopped, and it was given back, and nothing was gotten for it. And it was it was another day. And performance art, you'll take a look at. How various people performed, namely the two people, and you have to form your own judgments. Well,
let me do a follow-up on that.
I think it was a good day for Russia. I don't see what we got out of it.
Yeah, I'd love for any of the liberals who listen to the show, and I appreciate you very much. And it sounds like Mike may have been a Tea Party guy at some point because there was a lot of people in the Tea Party movement on the right and the left. It was a populist movement, right? I think Tucker Carlson speaks to a lot of populists, and. But they didn't like Trump for some reason, some of those folks. And, get over it because all you never Trumpers are being proven wrong every single day. Tell me what Joe Biden got out of going overseas to the G7, NATO, and then the meeting with Putin, right? That, like Laura Ingraham said the other day, she goes, next time, Laura Ingraham said the other night, she said, can we just send a notary next time to just stamp and sign all the documents and just save us all the pomp and circumstance and the wasted jet fuel and the taxpayer dollars?
The jet fuel.
Boy, for people who want to protect the climate, liberals sure do love to fly around the planet a lot and go to these fancy summits in Geneva. How much of a carbon footprint did that cause?
I mean, it was the biggest deal for 2 days straight, possibly even 3 days straight, about this meeting happening. And I get it. We're meeting with Putin for the first time. Okay. As President Biden is our new president. But I still don't understand what we got out of that meeting besides they talked about cyber attacks.
Nothing, because if CNN had gotten some of that out of that meeting, they'd be running a headline. CNN's got some breaking news. California businesses witnessing troublesome crime surge. Hey, welcome to the party, CNN.
Yeah. Duh.
So if Biden had gotten some bombshell something or other out of his European vacation, CNN would be talking about it all day, every day. Here it is in the middle of the day. It's 1:30 Central, 2:30 Eastern. CNN is, Atlanta, New York-based. And their last story was about a crime surge in California. And now they're talking about Kamala Harris.
Voter suppression. They had to move on to that, even though nobody's...
So Joe Biden just had his first major international trip. And CNN is talking about voter suppression. They'll get to January 6th here in a second.
It's amazing that they're even talking about crime.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, let's just avoid the fact that...
I've got some real breaking news. Do we have a breaking news sounder or anything like that? How about Nancy Pelosi?
Hip, hip, hooray. Unemployment is down.
Well, it's not.
I think I do have something.
It went up.
Yeah, it went up, actually.
Breaking news.
Here's
Now this better be good.
It is.
We played the sounder.
It is. It's really good. Okay, jobless claims. Jobless claims update. Last week, this is Joe Biden's America now, right? Right? You lefties, you want to own all this, right? You say that Donald Trump's gone and he has nothing to do with anything here other than January 6th. So I got it right here, hot off the presses. Jobless claims last week, 375,000. Expected this week, 360,000. Actual jobless claims, 412,000.
Oh, gosh.
So it went up.
We went the wrong way, Feldman.
Mm.
Yeah.
So disappointing.
And I resent the remark about making America great again.
She's happy about it. So.
Where'd
she go, by the way? Mad Max.
I don't know.
That's Mad Max.
Haven't heard from her in a while.
She's been quiet.
Here's some more breaking news. You want to play the sounder?
Oh, sure.
More breaking news.
Breaking news.
I don't know how many times I should actually play that because we use that for actual
I know, real
breaking
news.
No, that'll be my last time.
Okay.
Supreme Court unanimously rules in favor of Catholic foster agency in the case that pitted religious freedom against LGBTQ rights.
That is true breaking news because it is the second Supreme Court ruling that has protected religious freedom in this country. While states like Colorado continue to force people to make cakes they don't want to make and bake, the Supreme Court of the United States of America is issuing rulings to protect religious freedom. Now, on the other hand, the lefties today, they won't talk about that case. They want to talk about the fact that there was a case that was decided to shield Obamacare, which I already knew how they were going to rule. It was why is a 7-2 decision upholding some aspect of Obamacare news? It's not. Even Amy Coney Barrett in her confirmation hearing, she kind of signaled that the case that was working its way up to the Supreme Court was not going to be a case that was going to take down Obamacare. I can't remember right now the legal underpinnings, but I remember reading about this case at the time and thinking to myself, yeah, that argument's not going to fly.
Wasn't this dismissed on standing?
Yes.
It didn't really determine anything. They just said you don't have the right to sue for this.
It wasn't determined on the merits.
Okay.
And how many times have we said that about the Supreme Court? Boy, they like to punt on the hard ones.
Oh, man, do they ever. But here, you want to know what's really interesting about this story,
though?
Tell
me about this. This was about the Catholic
charities. This breaking news story. You want to play the sounder, Katie? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't have to do it.
I think we're taking some liberties here.
Supreme Court case. Big news.
Supreme Court ruled in favor of a Christian foster care agency, Catholic foster care agency, that refused to certify same-sex couples as foster parents. The Supreme Court ruled that Philadelphia's refusal to work with the agency violates the First Amendment. So when I read that, I'm like, oh, okay, so we know the outcome of the case. My question was, where did Roberts fall on this case? Because oddly, he's been really strong on religious liberty.
Yeah, he has been.
Right?
He has been. Squirrely on everything else.
Squirrely on everything else, but on religious liberty, when it falls into any category, schools, wherever, he's been very, very strong. This case, unanimous, 9-0.
Wow.
What?
No joke. We're talking Sotomayor, Breyer, Kagan, all ruled in favor of Catholic social services.
Wow.
That's breaking news. That's big news.
That is wild.
That truly is.
Because you said the other one was 7-2.
I must have. Yeah, this Obamacare case.
Obamacare was 7-2.
Yeah, I want to who dissented on that. Can you?
I'll look it up. I don't know.
So look that up. I'm going to look up this.
That's wild.
I'm going to take a look at this religious freedom case here. Let's look at.
I still have eras of paleontology on my
do you?
Computer. That's what I have. So I'll keep looking at that.
Yeah,
so,
let us know.
Religious freedom versus LGBTQ rights. Supreme Court sides with Catholic foster agency. Boy, the left must be, if they can't rely on Sotomayor and Ginsburg, I'm sorry, not Ginsburg. That was a Freudian slip. She's looking down upon us. Just scoldingly. No, she probably would have been with this majority as well. A unanimous Supreme Court ruled Thursday that a Catholic foster care agency in Philadelphia may turn away gay and lesbian couples as clients, a victory for conservatives with the potential to shift the balance between LGBTQ rights and the First Amendment's protection of religious. You know, this has nothing. I'm sorry, USA Today. This has nothing to do. See, USA Today and all the other lefty rags want to make this about bigotry and discrimination. That has nothing to do with being anti-gay. This is pro-religious freedom, mm-hmm. right? You don't get to use your differences as a sword, only as a shield. So no one should be discriminated against, but religious freedom is tantamount in this country.
First Amendment.
It's the highest form. It's why the country was founded for the love of God. It's why the left wants to tear it down now. They don't like what this country was founded upon. Religious freedom, religious and economic freedom, what this country was founded upon, right?
That's why this was a unanimous decision. It was a First Amendment case, apparently shut and dry First Amendment case.
Which is why the left doesn't like the Constitution. They'd rather.
Correct. It protects things they don't want protected.
Exactly.
You want to know who dissented on the Obamacare ruling?
Yeah, I'd love to. Wait, let me guess.
Yep, go ahead.
Clarence Thomas, and Clarence Thomas and Kavanaugh.
Wrong and wrong.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Alito.
Oh, Alito.
That's I would have figured Alito.
Not
I would
Thomas?
Have figured Thomas and Alito.
Yeah.
Alito and Gorsuch.
Oh.
That's odd.
Isn't that a weird pairing?
I like
Because Gorsuch. People would say, well, they're Republican nominated judges. Yeah, but they're people. Mm-hmm. And people are different. I'm sorry, they're unique. Not every Republican is Attila the Hun. In fact, none of them are. We're all individual thinkers, those of us on the center right side of the spectrum, whether you're a establishment Republican closest to the center or whether you're a more libertarian leaning person, you know, on the far end of the Republican-ish world.
Right? I've really liked Gorsuch. I don't know about you.
I really like
Gorsuch. I think he's one of the most steady Eddies up there.
He is.
He's great. Yeah.
He is very he's a person of conviction. He doesn't seem to follow the lines.
I think he had a very interesting interview not long ago, if memory serves, and it made him such a human. You know, you look at the Supreme Court justices, and you almost look at them as like superhuman, or just like not of this world because of the power that they hold.
Right.
And I watched this interview; I believe it was with Neil Gorsuch, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he's just a regular person. He's just a normal
guy. He's got two daughters. You know,
jury's still out for you on Amy Coney Barrett. We still have too much to see from her.
I think she'll be fine, but I just don't know enough about her. You know, this is amazing. I had no idea, Ryan, this was a 9-0 ruling.
I didn't either until just now.
The far left in this country, which is a very small... Look, they are the smallest, most annoying... That's me. I'm sorry.
That's
I got you.
I thought you were going to do something sentimental.
Well, maybe...
tell us. Tell us what. Like, tell us about the far left.
What was that Saturday... What was that Saturday Night Live?
Deep thoughts.
The far left.
The far
lunatics.
Left of this country.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe I should play this. Should I play this? What is
it?
I don't know.
Go ahead.
I'm
turn
afraid.
It up. No, it's fine. It's a VRBO ad.
This
it's fine.
Is the pool where a cannonball.
This is the pool that I like to push the lefties into. No, I'm kidding. They're showing a house with a pool. It's very nice. Yeah. Chief Justice Roberts actually wrote the majority opinion in the Catholic Foster Agency case.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah. That does not surprise me.
So you think on religious freedom, he's good?
I do.
But how amazing. That he got who are the four liberals? So Sotomayor,
Breyer, Kagan. That's it. Those three.
Oh, that's right. Because it's technically 5.5 to 4.5.
Yeah.
You never know
where
Roberts is going.
Land.
So I can't believe that especially, you're telling me that Sotomayor and Kagan had no problem with this ruling.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And Breyer.
And
he's not exactly.
You never know where Breyer's going to go either.
Sotomayor, you always know where she's going to go. Breyer and Kagan will sometimes cross over. I'm amazed that Sotomayor did. These 9-0 rulings have been common now in the last couple months.
Yeah.
They're sending a message?
Yeah, I think so. Don't pack us.
We got it under control.
We got it covered.
Hey, lots more of the Annie Fry Show straight ahead. I'm gonna dig into this ruling. And I'd love to know, Ryan, if you can look in the break, I'd love to know why Alito and Gorsuch...
Mm-hmm.
Dissented. If there's any little nugget in there, any little sound bite.
Yeah, I can tell you, and I'll dig into this VRBO ad a little bit too.
Yeah, look, the house with Ryan, the house with the pool is really sweet.
All right, I want to check this really out. Nice. I'll check this out.
And I'm going to check into this 9-0 ruling. All that and more when we come back on the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk. I was just looking at stuff.
What is this? Come on, Fatso.
Come on, Fatso.
Bust a move. You gotta go.
You think that would be in a song today? Because I feel like it probably
Fatso,
wouldn't.
Fatso.
Come on, Fatso.
Bust
a move.
What's that? Big butts in a whatever?
Big butts in a cannot lie?
Yeah, I don't think you can do that either.
Yeah. That's true.
That one's still kind of popular, though.
Yeah, it's a good
one. That one's on coffee mugs now. How weird is
I
that?
I know. Hey, I got big news. But it's not breaking news. The U.S. Open has begun out at Torrey Pines in beautiful La Jolla, San Diego. I'm checking it out here. And Brooks Koepka off to a early lead. I've played this course. It's awesome. It's right on the cliffs of the Pacific Ocean. It is just god-awful beautiful. Why did we let the lefties destroy California? I mean, I've been out there a number of times. It's such a beautiful piece of the earth.
It
really is.
It is. It's a gorgeous state. Mm-hmm.
Torrey Pines, of course, is a public golf course. Anybody can play it. We were talking about that the other day. And so that just started. So,
Katie, ever played Torrey Pines?
Yeah, of course, all the time.
Oh, really? I didn't know. I figured you had. I didn't know how often.
Yeah, all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's actually
very active in the golf community.
And you're going to be shocked by this. There's actually a Torrey Pine.
Oh, is there like the Pebble Beach, the famous tree?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. The Tory pine. I'm doing this like it's like a tree.
Oh, that's what a tree is. Yeah. Okay, I didn't know what you meant by a tree.
Facebook.com/AnnieFryShow Check us out. You can see what Tim is doing.
That's a tree.
There
Come
you go.
Hang out with us.
So, yeah, Father's Day weekend. I know what I'm going to be doing. Watching a little U.S. Open, much to my wife's chagrin. Probably playing a lot of U.S. Open, too.
I guarantee pointing out, oh, I remember that hole. I remember that hole.
I identify as a U.S. Open golfer, okay?
And therefore you are.
Why am I not there?
I don't know.
I demand it.
You're stuck here with us.
Tim. It's all
good. Ask Katie. She plays all the time.
That's true.
Let me bring Billy into the conversation, see what he has. He's been hanging on very patiently. Billy, good afternoon. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. You are on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. With regard to the Supreme Court decision, one, I find it ironic that, you know, over the past 40 years, there have been 11,000 allegations of sexual abuse against priests by children. Secondly, with this decision, does this mean that Catholic charities can deny a gay food at a soup kitchen if they so choose?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe you should take it up with Sotomayor, Kagan, and Breyer, the three liberals on the.
Well, I understand that. Yeah. I want to read the dissenting opinions too, but I want.
Hey, Billy, you're gonna have trouble doing that. There was no dissenting opinion. You missed my point because you were too busy making your ideological point. There was no dissenting opinion. The three liberals went with the conservatives. It was a 9-0 decision.
You said that they may have been joining opinions, but they wrote their own opinion that expressed some opposition to it.
No, it was a 9-0 unanimous opinion, Billy. How many different ways do you want me to say this?
We were talking about the Obamacare decision had two dissents.
Well, I thought you guys had it wrong.
No, keep up, Billy. Keep up, Billy. We're way ahead of you. Hey, Billy, catch up.
Don't tell me to talk to Sotomayor. I'm talking to you.
Yeah, Billy, guess what? In the United States of America, we have something called the Constitution. And I know you lefties hate it, but it has something in it called the free exercise of religion. And here is the money line. Here is the money line from Chief Justice Roberts, okay? And I want you to tell me what you disagree with here, okay? Well, now I lost it. Ah, jeez. Anyway.
You think I'm an idiot.
Roberts said that the Catholic agency was simply upholding its ideology and its religion and not forcing it on anybody else. That was the money line. What do you disagree with there?
Well, it gets to the point that the question I'm asking you. If it's against their religious doctrine to have anything to do with gays, can they turn them away from the soup kitchen line at Catholic charities? I guess they can. That's really Christ-like of you guys.
How come you can't do that, though? Would they do that? I don't think they would do that. I don't think they would do that at all.
According to the decision, they can. They have that religious liberty.
According to their Bible,
Billy,
they will
not. Let me ask you again, okay? CSS, the Catholic agency, seeks only an accommodation that will allow it to continue serving the children of Philadelphia in a manner consistent with its religious beliefs. It does not seek to impose those beliefs on anyone else. What is your problem with that statement written by Chief Justice Roberts of a 9-0 unanimous opinion in which the three liberal justices joined with unanimous majority on a religious freedom case?
I already gave you the answer to that.
No, you didn't.
Can the Catholic Church in Missouri say, we're not going to feed gay homeless people because it violates our doctrine?
So you can't answer my question. You can't answer my question why religious freedom should be tantamount over this issue. You can't answer my question because you're not smart enough to
answer
my question.
Would it be all right for Catholic churches to deny gays soup at a soup kitchen charity?
They could, but they would not. That's a totally different scenario. And if you don't understand differences and nuances in the law, Billy, then you just can't have a discussion on this level with me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, that's what you think. And that's why you had so much trouble when you were a speaker.
I had a great time as a speaker, Billy. I passed the first income tax cut in Missouri state history. I also protected life. I passed the strongest anti-abortion law in the state of Missouri at that time, and now Missouri hardly has any abortions. You just don't like that I'm a conservative, Billy. Just say it. You hate conservatives.
No, I'll tell you what I don't like is that you set up a political action fund and then bought $300 to cars, saying that's part of your political image.
So you've called this show to attack me, Billy. That's really Christian of you. Hey, Billy.
Oh, yeah, you haven't attacked me one bit, have you?
Hey, Billy, have a great day and enjoy your misery at this 9-0 religious freedom ruling.
Enjoy your $300 cigar.
You're so Billy, you're really cute. You got anything relevant for the audience? Billy couldn't take it anymore. Billy had to go. Billy had to go cry in his corner. You know, call me and engage me on an issue, like what we're trying to talk about here. If you want to attack me personally and what I did or did not do as Speaker of the House, or if you believe all the crap that the Post Disgrace wrote about me, you know what, Billy? I'm here on the radio, you're not, and you're apparently miserable about it. I'm really sorry, but I really appreciate that you listen. I really do. I really appreciate you, Billy, that you sit around and hang on my every word. Thank you for allowing me to live in your attic rent-free. Sorry.
The logic doesn't quite
really
make sense either.
I really got him stirred up today. I'm sorry. I don't know what I did today.
The logic is stating that if you have a biblical belief, the law is honoring your ability to live out that biblical belief. Then he's saying, well, why can't they just go oppose their own biblical beliefs? Like, the logic doesn't make sense.
Right.
You're trying to say, well, they can deny service to same-sex couples for adoptions. Well, that's against the biblical belief that they're standing up for.
Billy was making his own point.
Feeding someone is the exact that Jesus commands you to do that.
Right.
So why would you then say, "Well, I have a biblical belief here, and I'm going to oppose the Bible over here"? Like the logic flies past itself. Those two things don't work together.
Catholic Services wants to place children with people that fit its biblical worldview.
Yes. And the law is stating you have the right to do that.
And I'm sure that
the law does not force Catholic Services
to do that.
To do that. What is wrong with that? I don't get it.
It's a libertarian, it's a traditional American sort of government hands-off position, which is what the First Amendment is.
Catholic Services is not a service of the government. See,
no.
That's where Billy gets confused, is he doesn't understand the role of government versus private institutions. Catholic Services is not a government. Here's the deal. I'll bet that the adoption agency of the state of XYZ, they would not be able to make that decision, right?
It's the same as schools.
Like, they would be state-funded, like, right? Yeah.
The government can tell public schools, these are the rules.
These are the rules.
You can't tell that to a private school.
If you take taxpayer money, and you are not a private institution or agency, then you have to follow those rules. But see, you don't have religious freedom protection.
Right.
That's the point, right?
Right. That's the point of a 9-0 decision.
I stirred up the hornet's nest on this one. So. Judy says, Catholic Charities refuse no one at soup kitchens. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you, Judy.
And Mark says, hi.
So, hi, Mark.
Oh, that's my dad. That's my dad.
Oh, it's Mark Bailey.
That's my dad.
Hi.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Mark.
We got to go to a break.
Thanks, everybody. We got to go to a break. We'll be back with lots more passion right after this.
Get more at 971talk.com.